the good hospitality last night. I was thinking about, as we were singing some hymns, my mind traveled back to a time about in November, it'll be 39 years ago, since I first walked into the doors of the Lubbock Church on 23rd and Avenue X. That was two buildings ago. I was reminded of it when I saw Sister Pat Richardson come through the back door, because it was that time that I walked in, didn't know a single person in the building. Sister Pat welcomed me to sit down beside her. It was about over in the middle of this section right over here, two buildings ago. At that time, it was Brother F.I. Johnson sitting up here where Brother Don is right now, Sister Olafe right behind him. Right next to her was Brother and Sister Towns, and Brother and Sister Nichols were just a few rows back from there. Over here was Brother Afton, Sister Opal, Sister Eileen Green, and her mother, Sister Maggie Austin, that was almost 100 years old. Brother George and Sister Jamie with their four children over here. Brother Dale and Sister Jeanette right behind them and their children as well. Those folks made a tremendous impact upon my life. And my life has been different because of that blessing of walking through those doors almost 39 years ago. I thank the Lord for the blessing of knowing those that have gone home to be with the Lord that made such a tremendous impact upon my life. The church has been a blessing to me. It not only has been a blessing, but the church is a blessing to me. Church doesn't need me, but I need the church. I need it all of my life, and I'm thankful that God blessed me to have such loving friends and a wonderful church family. I love the old folks. I love the young folks. I pray that the Lord would bless us for a few minutes to share some verses. And this morning, if the Lord would bless us, I'd like to direct the message especially to the young folks this morning. That doesn't mean that it's not for any of the rest of us, because the principles are the same. You can make that determination as to whether or not you fall in that category of young folks. But the principles are the very same. The young folks, at least the ones that I'm most familiar with in our area of the country, Satan oftentimes launches a tremendous attack upon them. He does it even when they're Christians. He does it even when they're Primitive Baptist. I've lived long enough that I've seen a lot of young folks that grew up strong in the Lord and strong in the church. Because of one thing or another, they became distracted and they maybe went a different direction or fell by the wayside. And I missed their fellowship through the years and saw maybe the course that they pursued. God's Word directs us and gives us some encouragement and some help along the way. And I'd like to look at some of the principles that God has designed in His Word. A portion of the verse in Psalm 119, verse 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" How can a young man cleanse his way? In an age when there's so many challenges, so many temptations, so many distractions that would distract a young man, a young lady, how in the world could someone be encouraged in the day in which we're living to have his way clean and holy before the Lord and steadfast before the Lord? He says, "Wherewithal," or how can a young man cleanse his way? He's not only talking and directing this solely to a young man, but it could be to a young lady as well. He begins to give us a little bit of encouragement right here. He says, "By taking heed according to thy word," by taking heed thereto according to thy word. All of Psalm 119 is excellent, directing our attention, the attention of a young man, a young lady, to the Word of God. And it places tremendous emphasis and great value upon the Word of God. God's Word will direct our path, and it will never lead us astray, and certainly it's a great blessing and a great benefit for us in our life. I'd like to travel over to the book of Proverbs, and this is the writing to direct and encourage a young man in his journey. In Proverbs chapter 1, we'll look at a few verses right here. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtly to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear." Did you know that that's one of the first tips right there to a course for a young man cleansing his way is having the attitude and the mindset that he's willing to hear? Have you ever met somebody that you couldn't tell them anything because they thought they knew it all? And isn't it amazing how that when we're young, we oftentimes think we do know it all? We think we know more than our parents. We certainly think we know more than the teacher at school. We think we know more than the principal. We think we know it all. Sometimes we get the idea that we're God's gift to this universe, and that all of this universe is centered around me. And if we live long enough, we'll find out that that's not the case. In fact, the older that we live, the more we realize how much we don't know. We had a young lady that started attending church several months ago, and she was just rejoicing in the gospel and rejoicing in the Word of God. And she said after one service, she said, "I didn't realize how much I didn't know." She's so excited to learn more and to be fed of the gospel. But the first thing is, the very first thing that we would establish in having our way and our walk right before the Lord is to realize that we're just babes in Christ and we're ever learning. Elder Compton, as I've mentioned to you, he made a tremendous impression upon my life. He lived to be 102 years of age, and at 100 years of age, he was reading his Bible, and I said, "What are you reading?" And he told me what he was reading. He says, "I'm trying to learn something about it." We don't ever get too old to learn about the Lord. If we think that we know it all, if we've embraced an attitude that we know it all, then we're not going to be willing to sit before others' feet and learn. He says, "A wise man will hear and will increase in learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels," to understand a proverb and the interpretation and the words of a wise and their dark sayings. Once met a young preacher, and as he was exercising in the ministry before he was ordained, I was not only blessed by the gift that he had and the ability to preach the word that he had, but what blessed me so much is that he had the desire to sit at the feet of older ministers. Thankfully, at the time, I didn't qualify for that category of older minister. But the older ministers that were in their 60s and 70s and 80s, he had the desire to sit at their feet and just listen to their counsel of the Word of God. Just hear the instruction and the wise counsel about being able to live a godly life and being able to live among the Lord's people. It was a great blessing to see. And it's a great blessing when you find a young person that's willing to hear the counsel of their parents, of their pastor, of folks that are around them. Now, it's one thing just to go through the motions of hearing it. You ever been in the mindset that, well, I'm going to hear you out, but I'm going to do what I want to do? We're taught that there's wisdom in a multitude. There's wisdom and there's safety in the multitude of counselors. And you know that that doesn't end when we get to be 18 or 21 years of age, but it's still there for us the older that we get. I am so thankful for the blessing and the instruction and the guidance and the direction of the older counselors in the Lord's house. The second thing that our attention might be brought to in a young man cleansing his way is, the second one is in verse 7, the fear of the Lord. Have you ever seen someone wear a t-shirt that says, no fear? I don't fear anything. I don't fear anybody. I don't fear anything. Did you know that God's people are to have a tremendous and awesome respect and reverence and fear before Almighty God? We're to be reminded of who He is and the power that He has. And we're to have tremendous respect and fear and reverence to Almighty God. Now, we understand that there are those that have not ever been touched by the Spirit of God, and they're not going to have the fear of God in their heart until the Lord deals with them. But when the Lord deals with the child of God and quickens a child of God and blesses him to see the depraved condition that he is, we ought to be reminded of the awesome respect and reverence and fear of Almighty God. And when things begin to go smooth and when things begin to go easy and well for us, we sometimes begin to forget God and His power and His blessings and His deliverance. When things begin to go well, we begin to think that, look what great things I've done. Look what things I've accomplished. You know, there was a fellow named Nebuchadnezzar that he began to walk around his kingdom and he said, look at what great things I've built, what great things I've done. The Lord Himself humbled him. And God knows exactly what it takes in each of our cases to humble us and to bring us back to the place in our life that we have an awesome respect and a tremendous love and a tremendous appreciation, and we fear the power of Almighty God. If you find somebody that doesn't fear the Lord, they're not going to be willing to learn anything. In verse 29, it says, for they hated knowledge and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But he said, fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you want to grow up strong in the Lord, you lean upon the Lord. You look to the Lord. You ask the Lord to direct your path, the Lord to guide your feet, to direct your steps. You ask the Lord to put a hedge of protection about you. You ask the Lord to strengthen you in the midst of the temptations and challenges of life. Have an awesome respect, an awesome reverence, an awesome fear of Almighty God. He says, the fear of the Lord, it is the beginning of knowledge. Verse 8 would be the third point that a young man might consider in cleansing his way. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. God gives young folks a lot of blessings here in this life. And one of the greatest blessings that God gives young folks are mothers and fathers. Did you know that there's nobody in the world that knows you like your mother or father. Did you know that there's nobody in the world that cares for you like your mother or your father? That doesn't end at a certain age. I went and sat with one of our sisters that she was 95 years old and her son was 77 and having open heart surgery. And as I was sitting there with her, she said, I wish that I were the one that was there in the hospital taking my son's place. I wish it were me that were going through that rather than my son. Did you know that one of the greatest gifts for young people are your mother and your father? And sometimes we don't realize that until they're gone. Elder Elvie Lowry and his brother Gerald Lowry, the gentleman and his wife in New Mexico, came, and as they were standing by the casket at the funeral of his mother, he says, we stand here and we thank God that he blessed us with a godly mother and a godly father to give us direction and counsel in our life. The greatest blessing that God will give you here on this earth as a young person is a godly mother and a godly father. He'll also give you a godly pastor. Some of the best counsel that I ever got. I had an issue that came up and tremendous struggle, and I was so thankful that I had a pastor. Your dad, Brother Afton, used to counsel me. Had an issue that was weighing real heavy on me, and it was late in the evening, and I thought, I just need to talk to Brother George. How many here just needed to talk to Brother George? If I ask for a show of hands, I imagine everybody here that he's helped you just like he did me. And one evening, went out to his house, and he was out on a cotton stripper. Went to the door, and it was probably about 9 o'clock at night. It was dark, and Sister Jamie said, If you'll drive down this road a certain distance and turn and drive down that road a certain distance and turn down this turn row and park your car there and leave the lights on and wait for Brother George as he comes up on the tractor, he'll be able to meet you. Brother George finally saw my lights and he pulled up on the tractor or the combine or whatever large equipment he was in. He said, hop in there with me. And I hopped in the cab of the implement. We made a couple of laps around. He said, tell me what your problem is. I told him what the problem was. And right there in the middle of the cab of the tractor, he counseled me and gave me direction out of God's word. And my problem that seemed so big and so heavy, he was able to put it in perspective, and it helped me so much. Young folks, God gives you mothers and fathers. God gives you pastors. God gives you the blessing of older sisters in the church. We're taught that there's a role that the older sisters fill in the church. That's to teach the younger sisters, number one, how to love their husbands. How do they teach them that? They teach them by the example. Elder Compton and Sister Compton were married 75 years. He said, the first time that I met my wife, we went out and had a meal, and he said, when I took her home to her house, We were sitting out on the porch in here. Mother came out and said, 9 o'clock, time to go home. My, how things have changed. He said, he laid his hand on her shoulder. He said he saw the moonlit sky in the background. And he said, I love you. And he said, she told him, she said, I love you the most. He said, you know, we lived 75 years together and we never settled that. He said, I tried to outlove her and she tried to outlove me. And he says, we never settled that question. God gives you his young folks, mothers and fathers. He gives you pastors. He gives you grandparents. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for my grandmother and my grandfather. The first memory that I have of any kind at all was taken to a little church in Brownfield, Texas. At about 3 years of age, and my mother and father pulled up to the door and let me out, and I was to go in, and they were standing up singing the last hymn before the preaching service, and it's the first time that I remember have any memory of anything. And I remember going in this church, and everybody was standing up, and they all looked like giants to me, and I was looking for my grandparents, and I was going to go to church with them the first time. And they were faithful to take me through the years. And something stuck. I went back years later to that little meeting house on the north side of Brownfield. When I was a three-year-old boy, it seemed like a great big place, and it was a little cracker box of a building. It's amazing how things get out of perspective. But it made a tremendous impression upon my life. Mothers and fathers and grandparents, pastors, older sisters are a great blessing to young folks. In fact, your church family is a great blessing for you. I was told about a young lady that back in the 1920s that this happened. It was one of our members' cousins. She was 14 years old and she went before church, and this was in North Carolina, and I don't know if this is still the practice today, but she went before the church, and she offered herself as member to the church. She wanted to be baptized, and the Lord had touched her heart, and she was rejoicing in the Lord, and she wanted to fulfill that conviction of conscience and be baptized. And they called her up before the church and asked her to give a long presentation, and they decided as a church that she was too young to join the church. Her family said that she went to another church and joined it and lived her life, the rest of her life, in another church that did not embrace the doctrines of grace. And when she became an old lady, she says, I never wavered in what I believed in the doctrines of grace. But baptism is the answer of a good conscience before the Lord. And she said, I had to satisfy my conscience in following and being baptized. Did you know that I'm thankful that the Church of Jesus Christ is not just a place for the older folks? It certainly is. But I tell you what, it's a place for the young folks. If you go over to Zechariah chapter 8, it gives the description of folks that are, I believe, in the streets of Jerusalem, and I believe it's representative of the church. And he says that in the church, or in the streets of Jerusalem, he says there's old men and old women that are leaning on their staff for very age. Means there's some old folks there. But he says there's also some young boys and girls that are playing in the streets thereof. And what a blessing that the church is there for young folks and for old folks alike. The next one that we'll mention, how shall a young man or a young woman cleanse their way? Number one, we first must realize that we don't have all the answers, and we must be willing to hear and willing to learn. Number two, we must be reminded, and we must remember to honor and fear and revere the Lord. Number three, we must be thankful and thank God for the blessing of a godly mother and a godly father. And we must take heed to their counsel. They're looking out for us. And by the way, they've been where you are. They've been exactly where you are. And mothers and fathers have the keen skill that God has given them that they can see down the road. They can see the course that you're on, if it's not the right course, and they can see if you're making the wrong decisions and the wrong turns, and you need to consider and take heed to their counsel. I listen now to my mother's counsel probably more than I ever have in my life. And I'm 53 and she's 73, and I trust her counsel as much now as I ever have. Thank God for godly mothers and fathers. Thank God for your pastor. Thank God for the older sisters and the older brothers that are in the church. They've been such a blessing and made such an impact in my life. And they're a blessing. It's a tremendous, valuable asset that you have access to as young people in the church of Jesus Christ. Listen to them. Glean on their every word and apply it in your life. The next one that we're taught here, that Solomon says in, he says, my son, well, back in verse 9, we overlooked that. He says, if you take heed to hear the instruction of your father and forsake not the law of thy mother, he says, it'll be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. And I think that what it means, it's going to be beautiful. And it is a beautiful sight. It's a beautiful sight when you see a young person honoring their father and mother. In fact, that's the fifth commandment, and that's the commandment that we have. It says it's the first commandment with promise. And it's actually twofold promises there. He says if you honor your father and mother, he says, number one, it will go well with you. And number two, he says your days will be long upon the earth. You remember old Sister Knowles? And her daughter, Melissa Peak, her daughter, 92 years old, was caring for her mother when her mother, 110 years old, passed away. She honored her mother in caring for her mother in her old age. I believe it's a blessing when you honor your mother and your father in your youth, and it's a blessing when you honor your mother and father in their old age. It's a great blessing to honor your father and mother. And he says it's a commandment that a promise follows it, a promise from the Lord. The next thing, and here's one that young folks oftentimes struggle with. Everybody wants to fit in. Everybody wants to be in the in group. Don't want to be an outsider. I have a good friend and who lives in another state, and his son had gotten involved in making some wrong decisions, getting involved in drugs and alcohol. And I asked his father, his son was an honor student in high school. His son made tremendous grades in his first 2 years of college. And then he got mixed up with the wrong people. And he began to make some bad decisions. And I asked his father, I said, on a percentage of 0 to 100%, the situation that your son's in and the challenges that he's facing right now, on a percentage of 0 to 100%, how much would you say it had to do with being with the wrong people? I was surprised. I thought he'd say 50 or 60 or 70%. He said 100%. If your parents are concerned about the people that you're keeping company with, if they're concerned, you ought to be concerned. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. That means if they invite you to go along with them, if they invite you to go with their group, maybe it's the most popular group, but is it the most righteous and holy group? He says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. He says, if they say, come with us, and let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave, as whole as those that go down into the pit, we shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil, cast in thy lot among us. That means join in with them. Cast in your lot. That could be as much as, it could be as simple as cast in your time. You don't realize the value of time until you get past 50 years of age. You don't realize the value of time until you get past 70 or 80 years of age. And you realize you can't turn the clock back. You can't go back and regather some of that time that you've lost. He says, cast in your lot among us. That could be your time. That could be your resources. That could be the things that you have. He says, don't join it up with people that are going the wrong way. He says, walk not in thou the way with them. He says, in fact, refrain thy foot from their path. Again, in Proverbs chapter 4, he says, enter not into the path of the wicked. He says, go not into the way of evil men. He says, avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn away from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they've done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. A couple of other verses that you may want to mentioned, 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. If something looks evil, it probably is. And he says, abstain from the very appearance of evil. You might say, well, I'm not participating. It's not really wrong. If it's questionable, it's probably not right. And he says, abstain from the very appearance of evil. Brother Afton Richards used to say, and I've used this, and I've tried to use it in counsel, and I've tried to apply it in my own life. He said, one of the very best defenses against sin, against trouble, is distance. Put some distance between yourself and those that are enticing you to go the wrong direction. He says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 says, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, he says, be not deceived. He says, evil communications corrupt good manners. I had a gentleman that was a recovering alcoholic, and he came to me and he told me, he said, my friends are going to a ball game and they have asked me to be the designated driver. And he said, I know that there's going to be some drinking involved because they've asked me to be the designated driver. And he said, do you think that'd be all right? And I said, absolutely not. It sounded good. He was going to be the designated driver and he's going to take care of these folks. But I said, you don't even need to be around it. You need to put some distance between yourself and their choices and their decisions and their influence. Don't think for a minute that you are so strong that you're going to be able to stand against the evil communications. Don't think for a minute that you are the exception to this word here, evil communications corrupt good manners. If you're going to be around it, it's going to have some impact and influence upon you. I'm not a mechanic. I can put gas in the car and I can check the oil, and it doesn't go much past that. One day I knew that my car had been using oil, and I knew that it probably needed some oil, and I was on my way to church, and I thought I'll check the oil. And I had a white shirt on, and the dipstick was way down below. It was an old big car, and you had to reach way over and reach way down. Had a white shirt on, and I thought, I'll not get any grease or oil or dirt on my shirt and on the way to church. And I did my very best to avoid it. I just wiggled my arm around and finally got the dipstick, pulled it out, checked the oil, added the oil. And when I got through, I looked at my shirt and I had grease on it. And I thought, I don't even know where I got it. I thought I'd avoided it. Did you know that it's exactly the same way? If you're in the environment where sin is, it's going to jump on you. You're not even going to know where it came from. And it's going to grab you. It is. Put some distance between yourself and the ungodly. A friend of mine that I hadn't seen in a number of years called me about a year ago. The last time I'd seen his two daughters, they were about 4 and 5 years old. They weren't members of our church. They were members of a sister church, the family was, and then they moved to another part of the country. The last time I'd seen these two little girls, they were probably 4 and 5 years of age. These little girls grew up. He said, Brother Stephen, he said, there's been a horrible tragedy in our life. He said, my oldest daughter had gotten mixed up with the wrong people. He said, we had her, we weren't living close to a church. And he said, we had her in AA. He said she was doing, we thought, real well. He said, one day I came home, and to my surprise, there was a Bible that was on the kitchen table. He said, I looked at it, and he said it. I said, where'd you get this? She said, the neighbor gave it to me. He came over and he was talking to me about the Lord. He said, I looked at the Bible and he says, I got upset because it wasn't the King James Version. Now, I believe in the King, I preach from King James and I embrace the King James. But I'm sharing the story that he had. He said, I got upset that my daughter didn't have the King James Version. And I said, what's this doing here in the house? He said, rather than be thrilled that for the first time my daughter seemed like she had an interest in spiritual things and an interest in the Lord. He said, about 2 weeks later, my daughter wanted to go out with her friends. And he said, I knew that the group that she was going with, there was going to be a lot of drinking that was involved. And he said, we begged her not to go. He said, we pleaded with her not to go. She said, oh, I'll be fine. I'm just going along with them. He said, she went, And about 3 o'clock in the morning, we got a phone call that she had become so inebriated that her friend said, "You need to come pick her up." He said, we went and picked her up, and we had a pickup with a cab and door in the front and the back. And he said she was in the back seat, and we were traveling along, and said, she flew the door open like she was going to jump out. And he said, I stopped the pickup, and we had a confrontation. And he said, then I started back up, and we were on our way home. And he said, then a second time, he said, the door flew open, and she jumped out the pickup. And he said, we were going about 45 miles an hour. And he said, all I could see in the rearview mirror was her limp body bouncing on the ground. And he said, when I went back and I picked her up and I held her, he said, you know the first thing I thought of? Here I was upset with her because she didn't have the King James Version of the Bible. Satan attacks young folks. How can a young man, a young woman cleanse their way? It's hard. You fear the Lord. You be more ready to hear than to speak. You take heed to what your parents say. Listen to your parents. Listen to your grandparents. Listen to your pastor. Lean on the Lord. And you do everything you can to avoid the wrong company and the wrong influence. I tell you, the church is the greatest place to be in your life to face the challenges that come upon us, especially in our youth. May God bless you.